You are on page 319, and then also look into the book of James. Does anybody remember when we started looking at the book of James that I told you that it's more like a sermon than it is a letter? So there are larger chunks of topics in the book, and a lot of some of these you're going to recognize. They're kind of popular passages in the book, and so you'll see those as we go. And I think where we left off last week is kind of looking at the authorship. Remember, there's a lot of different Jameses in the first century. There's a lot of Jameses today, right? There are certain names today that unless you know a last name or some occupation or connection with a family, you really don't have a clue who somebody may be talking about. And that happens with this one. So let me put this back up here. Just a quick running start. When you're trying to figure out which James it is, we do have one James that was murdered. Well, I say murdered, martyred, or killed by a king. John and James, the sons of Zebedee. You know, they were fishermen. And so there's a James there. But it's probably not that James that we're talking about. There's another James that became not pastor, but kind of a spokesman for the early church in Jerusalem. And with that particular James, because of the way that one led and a connection with Jesus himself, okay, this was like the half-brother of Jesus, it is believed with those connections that he is probably the James who wrote this letter in your Bible. So if that is correct, then what you are reading are words written by a guy who grew up with Jesus right beside him. Now, that doesn't necessarily add extra authority to his writing, but it's to me, it's kind of interesting that like he watched as he was growing up, he saw, like as Jesus went through the, you know, the childhood and older childhood and teenage years. See, we don't think about it that way. Jesus went through the same stages that we all go through, 100% human, without sin, but went through the same stages. So if, think about this, and this is completely wouldn't work, but wow, imagine if like Jesus, like years and years ago, if there were churches like this, or I guess you could say synagogues, but they had like a VBS type thing. Imagine having Jesus in your VBS class. Wouldn't that be crazy? All these little kids out there, well, who's going to take the threes and fours? I'll take that one. Well, that's Jesus' age group. Well, he's about to be in mine then. You know, it's like this is a normal, 100% human. And so he's growing up. And James actually observes and watches like his half-brother as he grows up. So it just strikes me a little stronger with that. So it's probably that James who wrote this letter. So growing up with Jesus. Now, let me show you something really, really quick. I don't do this on Sunday mornings because it's hard with the context and sermons. But I want you to turn, I want you to see, look back to the book of Galatians. And since on Wednesdays we have a little more informality and a little more time, usually, not tonight. But one of the things that I find, and I don't know if you find this, but hang a left, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 streets back, I'm going to guess, at least, and you'll get to Galatians. Remember we went through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go eat popcorn. Go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you get to those eat popcorn, just keep going back to the go part until you get to Galatians. And one of the things I think we do, I know I do, maybe y'all don't, because you're better readers than I am, but one of the things we do is we read very quickly over the biblical text and we miss connections. So let me show you a place where it happens. If you are in the very first chapter of Galatians, Paul the Apostle writes this little letter. This is a church that's getting justification wrong. They are being led astray with a works-based type of salvation. And so Paul tries to straighten them out and emphasizes you're not saved by works. It is by grace and through faith. But I want you to see what he does. As he gives his testimony in the first chapter, let's just start at verse 18. Letter to the Galatian believers, and he shares after he got saved. Okay, we've all got a story after he got saved. Okay, the part after your conversion, so that's what he does. So he says that 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, because that's Peter, to become acquainted with Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. I mean, this is personal stuff, right? I mean, this is in today's terminology, this is going to be my opinion. Y'all know I'm very anti-social media. I have not yet found a very good purpose for it. It just doesn't work too well. But this is kind of like social media stuff. We're getting some inside information that really doesn't matter so much. But it's like, look, 3 years later, went up to Jerusalem, and I stayed there for 15 days, so just over 2 weeks. But I did not see any other of the apostles. Yeah, I saw Peter. I didn't see any other of the apostles except James. Now, look at the way he describes James here. And I just don't know if you've ever caught this before. Which James are you talking about, Paul? I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Same James writing this little letter at the back of your Old Testament or your New Testament, James. So, little tiny clues in the Bible. Sometimes you see names and see places, you're like, eh, let's read over it quick, it doesn't really matter. But Paul answers the question there to prove, well, first of all, that Jesus did have like half brothers and sisters that Joseph and Mary had other kids after his birth. But he's like, we all know this one. This is the Lord's brother. Right? The same James. So I just wanted you to see that connection because I know we read over things quickly and don't kind of do that sometimes. So we've kind of got the authorship straight at which James it is. Now, let's look at who he's writing to in the next paragraph. And they don't really go as much into the text right now like we're going to starting next week. So when you go through the book of James, you always want to ask, okay, who is writing the letter and to whom are they writing? So you don't find a very specific audience, but what he does say back in verse 1, that he is a bond servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I'm writing to, and it's a generic, kind of a generic greeting or identification. I'm writing to the 12 tribes. Remember we said that's like a way of referring to the Jewish people, right? 12 tribes of Israel. So I'm writing to the Jewish people, and they are dispersed abroad. And then he says to them, hey y'all, that's greetings, but it's kind of like a hey y'all type thing. So writing to the 12 tribes. So when you're reading through the book of James, primarily he's focused on the Jewish believers. So Jewish people who recognize that Jesus is that long-awaited Messiah, he's writing to those. But here's what happens. Most of the time in the Bible, when he writes to Jewish people, he also gives good theology and teaching for the rest of us pig-eating Gentiles. And that's kind of what he does. So in James, while it is directed to, you know, our Jewish audience, it's plain that the principles and precepts apply to all believers. So just because it says to the 12 tribes doesn't mean you can skip the book of James, since you're not Jewish. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's got advice for Gentiles, but wrote specifically to the Jews. He does not name a specific geographical area, but what he says in verse 1 is he's writing to those who are dispersed abroad. Now, where are they? Well, we don't really know, so probably the best way of identifying that is like the book says here, just areas all around Palestine. So when persecution arises and people scatter, or for whatever other reasons, he's like, listen, if you're out there somewhere, you know, kind of scattered away from the home base, that's who I'm writing to. And he says, these are ones who are dispersed abroad outside the area of Palestine. Now, the book says here that James wanted Jewish Christians everywhere to realize their duty. And this is so simple. It sounds so straightforward. To recognize their duty to behave like children of God. I'll put it this way. Your walk needs to match your talk. Right? Your Tuesday needs to match your Sunday. So he is going to encourage them in this letter to make sure that they are behaving like they ought to. Unbelieving Jews and Gentiles bullied the Christian Jews. They accused them of crimes. They beat them. They ran them out of town. They stoned them. And in that context, what that's called is persecution. So with that persecution, and because of that persecution, it's only natural, that there's going to be some people who wonder, is it worth it? I mean, honestly, is it worth it? Because before I started following the way, they called it the first century, before I started following the way, my life was a little easier. I didn't have authorities coming after me. I didn't lose my job. I didn't get ridiculed. I didn't get bullied. I didn't get threatened. It ain't as easy right now, right? So, because of persecution, they start wondering, is it worth it? Is it even the right thing to do? Right? We're Jewish people. Have we messed up by believing this is a Messiah? Okay, that's kind of where they are. So he's got to encourage them in that context. So because of that, James writes to encourage them, trying to encourage them in Christian living. That's just your day-to-day. And what he says is, no matter what happens to you, you can live like a Christian. So that's going to kind of become a driving force in this book. Now, I'm going to put a separate screen up here for that statement, because I really want you to latch on to that. This is a statement to me that's easy to teach and easy to preach and easy to sing in a choir song. But man, when you're really out there and certain circumstances come up, you can live like a Christian, but it may not be easy. In the world in which we live, I think it's going to get harder and harder. I think the world collectively is losing its mind a little bit more day by day. I think. So then when you stand out there and you go back into the workplace and places you go and different activities and you're trying to stand for what's right and common sense and morality and ethics, you're going to really, really stand out like a badly beaten sore thumb. Okay? But can you do it? James says, yes, you can. Okay? And remember the title of the entire lesson is Get a Grip. Okay? Firmness there. You know, standing strong. So I think this becomes a little bit of a theme in the letter. Remember, it's more like a sermon than a letter. And a good sermon ought to encourage us, ought to kind of convict us. It ought to encourage us. So you can and ought to live like a Christian. So that is more overview of the letter. So give me anything in that section that you want to add to, ask about, share a story or testimony about, anything in particular. I think it's probably best for me not to continue into the next section since we're right at 8 o'clock. Let me just introduce it. So in the next little section on page 320, the question is, what advice does James give in the following verses? And so there's going to be one, two, three, what about four? But four specific commands you're going to find in the letter, well, kind of sermon that James gives. And these are going to help you do what's on the screen, right? You can still live right. And James is a very practical book. James is more of a do. It's like not just believe, but do, right? Don't just read the Bible. Don't just hear it taught, but do. Okay, very practical. So he's going to give you some examples of that in the next section.